This is our last night together here, but I believe that God has been planting a seed in each heart here, and that seed, of course, is going to reproduce, and it's going to reproduce the only thing that it can, because the seed of God is Christ. And that means that if that seed is planted in you, then Christ is going to grow. That will be the development. This is a progression from last night, where we dealt quite a deal with the woman, understanding who she was, and understanding where she came from, and what is the position today in this world. And so we found out many things, didn't we? And this is part of the discovery that we need to make. Tonight, I'm going to take a subject that you are familiar with, but you may not have followed it as we're going to tonight. Could we just bow together in prayer? Father, we have a need in our hearts tonight to know you, whom to know is life eternal. We may just very offhandedly say, but we know you, Lord. But Father, I want you to reveal yourself to this people in a way that they have never known you before. Because, Father, you are so wonderful that if we lived to be 1,000 years old, we would still not have completely understood or know you as you truly are. Father, speak into our hearts tonight the word of life that will generate a life in us, that will transform us into the very image of the one whose seed has produced us in the beginning, that is Jesus Christ. Lord, just take control, I pray, of every word spoken, and give us the ears to hear that which comes from you, that it may bless us and accomplish in us that whereto you are sending it tonight. And everybody said,
Amen,
amen and amen. Going back to Genesis chapter 2, it's a bit hard to get away from these early chapters, because there's so much about these, about us in these chapters, so much. Chapter 3 this is though, Genesis chapter 3. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And when you read that, you think, well, God's going to kill them if they touch the fruit of that tree. That is not so. I want you to know that there was no death in the Garden of Eden. Nothing died there. Therefore, the word die there does not mean, you know, the cessation of life and the body lying there with no life in it. Not talking about that kind of dying. Because the relationship that Adam had with God was love, L-O-V-E. And love is one of the most profound forces that we have in the world today. A person will do for love what they would never do with a gun to their head. You see? For love. And so, the woman has gone off on her own. You see, right from the moment when she appears and Adam says, you are bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. So he equated himself with the woman. And as a result, of course, many things happened. So in the garden now, the woman is now playing around on her own. She's on her own. Remember that man was created male and female, functioning together as one. So there's Adam there, and now you've got Eve, the woman, but they're not functioning together as one. Eve has gone off now on her own to carve her own life, which is not what God intended anyway. And so this is a problem, and this creates a problem in the garden. Why? Because eventually what happens? The serpent said to her, to the woman, "You will not die." Well, what did that death mean anyway? It meant the breaking of the love relationship that Adam had with God. That's what it spoke about. Breaking the love relationship that Adam had with God. You break that relationship and you are dead from God's point of view. Because, you see, it's just like the fetus that's birthed in the womb of the woman. That fetus is being fed and kept alive by an umbilical cord. And if you cut that any time prior to when that little fetus is ready for life in this world, it will die. And we find this, I mean, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about the golden chain, the link that we have with God. That if that love link is broken, then death is all that can come as a result. But not death as lying down and your body's put in a box and buried in the ground. Not that kind of death. But a death in our relationship with God. It simply means that you will not experience the love of God. Not because God has withdrawn it, no, but because the stream has been broken, like a river. And somebody has put a barge across there and the water's not flowing anymore. And there are many, many Christians in the world today, that's how they're living. The love relationship has been broken. And so, what happens now as a result? All right, here's what happened. This is a prelude to what we're going to share tonight. You need to understand this first. It says here, when this verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. What told her that it was good to eat? 5 natural senses. What she could see, what she could touch, what she could feel, what she could smell, and what she could taste. That's what told her. And I want to tell you, those 5 senses will lie to you all the time. Paul said that those senses are waste of time if you want to find God. Yeah, because they will never help you. And they'll never help you to please God either. Okay, so now what happens as a result of this? It says the eyes of them both were open. Verse 7. Why? Well, first of all, verse 6, the woman saw that it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, free to be desired, to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and ate, and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And I think they would be saying for the rest of their lives, "Boy, I wished we had never seen what we have seen." Because what they saw was not what God wanted them to see. It was another life on the outside of the garden. It was another life, almost like with God being absent. Not that he was, because he was in them, just as he's in you and I today. So he can't leave us, but somehow our consciousness has been broken in the spirit realm. Okay. And so in verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." So for the first time in the life of Adam, he does not respond to the Lord. But the Lord is out there, just as he was every other day, and Adam normally would have been walking with him, talking with him, fellowshipping with him, but this day he's hiding behind the trees. Hiding behind the trees. And as a result of that, certain things took place. This is what I want you to see just now. This is a prelude to what I really want to share with you. It says here, verse 10, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I was naked and I hid myself." Well, he had appeared with God who knows how many years. He might have been thousands of years in which he had responded to God every morning. But this one time, he said, "I was afraid of you." He'd never been afraid of God before. But there are many people afraid of God today because they think that God's out to get you. God's not out to get anybody. God's out to save you if you'd only let him. So it says here, "I heard your voice, but I was naked, so I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree, or have I commanded thee that you should not eat of it?" And the man said, "The woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "It was the serpent's fault. He was the one. He tricked me. Told me I wouldn't die. So I took the fruit." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you're cursed above all cattle," and so on. And Adam and Eve find themselves on the outside of the garden. And therein began a life of wandering. A life of wandering, which we all have been on. A life of wandering. No longer could they eat the fruit of the tree of life, because that was back in the garden. They couldn't go back into the garden at that time. And the food that he ate in the garden, of course, was all supplied. Was there, all there. Every time you wanted something, whatever, it was there. He didn't have to garden to get his food, but now he's on the outside of the garden. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to pick up the story now. I mean, we're going to change the players. Instead of talking about Adam, we're going to talk about a king who had two sons. And we're going to see that we've got exactly the same thing, only in a different time sequence and in a different place. It says in verse 11, "A certain man had two sons." Well, that man happened to be a king. "And the younger of them said to his father," he said, "give me the portion that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. What was it that he was really asking? Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Well, I'll tell you, that's your body. God has given you a body. You didn't have to tell him. You didn't have to give him any instructions as to how the body was to be formed. But he gave you a body. That body was suitable for you to be able to do everything that God had ever required of you. It was capable of doing it all. But we never did it. Why? Because we had other plans in mind. So what is this boy talking about now? Give me everything that belongs to me. He wanted his body. He wanted his intellect. He wanted his understanding. He wanted all of his strength, his power, whatever he had. Give it to me, because now I think I can do more with it than what you can, Father. And I want to tell you that every one of you have done this. And I have too. We all did it. We started out in life assuming that all this belonged to me. All that belonged to you. And you just took it and went out and you thought, I can make it out in this life. I mean, I can do it. I don't need anybody's help. Father, you know, you're a great father. And, you know, I mean, you've got a lovely home here. But I can look after myself out there. So this man now, he's called the prodigal son. What does the prodigal son do? He takes off. He takes off from father's house. Now, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. Because I want to show you where you came from. John chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. That was in Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. Why did he have to tell the people that? Because they hadn't been living in the mansions. They had been living in the dungeons. And some of the lower places on the earth. But they were not living in the mansions that God had provided for us. So it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that's where you're going to be. In other words, he wanted us back in fellowship and relationship with himself. In my Father's house. But we left Father's house. And for so many years, we all tried to do our thing. All of us, myself included. We all did. So, we're finding here that this is a parallel to Genesis chapter 3. When Adam took the fruit of the tree that God said not to touch, he put himself outside the garden. And that began the circle of the prodigal son. He had to find his way back. He had to find his way back to God. And you say, did Jesus Christ have to do that? Well, it's a parable, of course. It's a parable. But see, he had to get back. He had to go back. And he did. We'll go into that later. So, it says here, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've gone to prepare a place for you. So what did God do when we took off and tried to make out life on our own? What did he do? He said, I'm going to go and make a place for you. And that place has been ready, totally furnished, absolutely complete, one of the mansions, waiting for you. Have you moved in yet? Have you really moved in yet? Or are you still in the far country? Okay, this is the story for tonight. And it's not just a story, this is the reality of life for us all. So it says here, not many days after this is going back now to Luke 15, verse 13. Not many days after this, the younger son gathered together all that he had and took his journey into a far country. A far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Well, to a lesser or greater degree, we all have done the same thing. The riotous living is the opposite to righteous living. It means pleasing yourself. That's simply what it means, and that's what we did. Whatever I wanted to do, that's what I did. But see, I had forgotten where I had come from, Father's house. But we need to get back there. So tonight, God is saying to you, I have prepared the house for you that I told you that I was going to get for you. In fact, it's been ready for you ever since you were born on this earth. But you haven't come back yet. You're having too much fun in the far country. Lord, help us. Help us tonight. Listen. It says, and when he had spent all that he had, this is verse 14, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. How many of you people here tonight have a want in your life? Yeah. Come on. If you have a want in your life, you're still in the far country. Because there is no want in your life in Father's house.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So this is real, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you've probably heard this story 1,000 times, and I have too. But see, this is Father speaking to you tonight. He's telling you the story because you're his son. And he knows. And I want to tell you, Father has never taken his eyes off you from the day you were born. And he's followed you in every step you've taken in that far country. He's followed you. And I often think about the Father in his house there. You know, and every morning, when everybody else was just getting up, where would they find him? Out on the front veranda there. And he's looking down the road. Maybe today, my son's coming back. Yes. Because you are all the sons of God.
Yes.
All of you. Women and men. We are all the sons of God. But we became the daughters of God. We all became the daughters of God. But never mind. So when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. So now, he's got to find a friend. You have to find a friend. So he joins himself to a man of that country. And he sent this man, sends him into his field. What to do? To feed the pigs. Oh, God help us. I mean, this is based upon Israel, of course. And the pig was anathema to them. I mean, they wouldn't look at a pig. They would have nothing to do with the pig. They would never eat the meat of the pig and so on. But here's this man now having to eat humble pie, as we would say, And he's got to go and feed these lousy pigs. Oh, Lord, help us. How many times have we had to feed the pigs? We've had to feed the pigs. And he would have gladly eaten, filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, because no man gave him anything. No man gave him anything, but he had a father that wanted to give him everything. But no man was going to give him anything. See, and we end up with all of our problems. I've got this problem, Lord, and you know, I've had this, you know, this maybe cancer, it may be arthritis, it might be, who knows, something. And we're in want. But we've got nobody in the far country that's even interested. Sorry, mate, I'm too busy, you know. Everybody's too busy to take any notice of you and your problems, because that's the world out there. It's pretty selfish, I can tell you. And it's not going to try and help you very much. So, the Bible says here in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. There is a moment in time when I believe that God gets our attention one way or the other. This man is starving, literally starving, because even though his father is a king, even though his father's got a bunch of servants there that get the meals ready, I mean, he doesn't have to go and cook his eggs for himself. I mean, he's got servants there. They do everything. He said, in my father's house, there's everything that I need. And I'm out here in this country, far, far country. And I've got nothing. I'm feeding the pigs. And the Bible says that he would gladly eat them, the stuff that he was feeding the pig. Have you ever seen what they feed pigs with? Wow. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't like it on my breakfast table anyway. They will eat anything. So, we're looking now at an experience that I want you to relate to tonight. We have all left Father's house. Because when you were in the womb, it was God that was taking care of you. It was God that was making the various parts of your body to develop and so on, so that it could be a complete person. And so when you were born into this world, you were born perfect for what He required you to be. And that as that child would grow up, that body, we would discover something about it. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? But it's out there in the wilderness. It's in the far country. And Father wants to use that body, but He can't, because we've got it out there doing with it whatever we want to do. You know, and dressing it up, making it look beautiful, and all of these things. I gave up on that one because I didn't win at all. But never mind. God wanted me, and He wanted my body. And then, of course, we are told that your body is not just the temple of God, but He dwells in us. So that the expression of the Christ who is Spirit can only become real to the world when I give Him this body. So the body that I took into the far country to enjoy life with is the body that He brought into this world through my mother's womb for the express reason that He wanted this body to become an expression of what He is. These hands are the hands of the Christ. This voice is the voice of the Christ. These legs, they are the legs of the cross to take him wherever he needs to be.
Yes.
You understand this?
Yes.
And where is it? It's out in a far country. That's not where God wanted it to be.
Yes.
I mean, we could go back there after we've returned to Father's house, and it's a different proposition. If we go back there and Father sends us back to the far country, which he will do, then that'll be okay, because he will already have taken charge of this body. It will be his temple, and it will be his body to express himself. But he's still in the far country. So one day, something happens, and he suddenly makes up his mind, this is crazy. My father back there is a king. He's got all the money in the world that he needs. He's got a beautiful mansion there. He's got all the food he needs. He's got absolutely everything. And I'm out here eating with the pigs. He said, this is crazy. I'm going to go home. Beloved, we have a lot of preaching that's done in this world today. And we have so many preachers that are preaching a gospel that says, you want to go to heaven? Well, give your heart to Jesus. You know. And ask him to come into your heart and tell God that you're sorry that you did all those things and sorry that you left home and you went out to the far country and all that. And if you'll do all of that, you'll be born again, you'll be a child of God, and you go to heaven when you die. Do you mean to say that this story gives you that idea? It didn't give me that idea. I mean, this guy is at his wit's end. I mean, he's at the end of his rope. That's what he is. And he's about to go over the cliff. And all the only thing that's going to save him is, I think I'll go back home. Well, that, I believe, is an experience of God in our life. I believe that that is the experience that you and I have when God calls us out of the far country. And I don't care how many times you've given your heart to Jesus, I'm not sure it makes any difference at all, until there comes a voice from within that says, I love you. It says, I've been looking for you ever since you left home. And your room is ready for you in the mansion. It's all ready for you in Father's house. Beloved, that is not just giving your heart to Jesus. In fact, I want to tell you something that would never be, that would never be, that desire within there would never be unless God put it there. And I believe it was God that just watched him getting rid of all that he had. Money, he had pockets full of it when he left home. But now, he's got nothing. Why? Well, because if you get very, very, very rich, you all end up with, you know, 25 uncles, 30 aunties, and then you've got all these grandkids that show up and come out of the woodwork somewhere, you know, because they want to get in on your money, you see. Well, the king has everything that you need. So I believe that the king begins a work, and it starts in here. Not up in here, in here. I'm going to go home. Now, he had never had that thought previous to this. He'd never had that thought. I mean, he tried everything. First of all, he joined one of the people in that far country and thought, he's going to help me. And he didn't get much from him except being sent down to feed the pigs. So here he is now, he's about ready to actually eat the stuff that he's feeding the pigs with. And he says, this is crazy. My father's house. I could be sitting there, you know, eating lamb chops or something. And I'm here feeding the pigs and I'm about to eat what they're eating, for goodness sake. And there's a beautiful room there in my father's house. And where am I living? I'm lying down here with these pigs, the stinking pigs. God help us. God help us. So, this desire was burning within him now. I'm going to go back home. But I know I just can't go back home. I mean, I have really messed up, you know. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Therefore, I'm just going to ask you to make me as one of your hired servants. That's all. If I'd just be one of your hired servants. Because your hired servants are not feeding pigs. I mean, they've got a nice little cottage there to live in. I mean, they're eating all the good stuff too. While I'm out here feeding the pigs and eating the same stuff. Yes. This is crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. And what am I doing? Well, I've got this, you know, I've got this problem with my lungs. And you know, I kind of sometimes cough myself to sleep. I don't just cry myself to sleep, I'm coughing myself to sleep. I've got these problems. I've got these migraine headaches. I've got all of these things in my body are playing up because I'm in a far country and nobody there is interested. So what? I'm just going to die. If I stay here, I will just die. That's it. I've got nothing. Have you ever known how great God is? There's a verse I want you to mark in your Bible. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Well, got it? Because I want you to mark this in your Bible. I tell you. It says here, verse 14, I'm giving you the connection to the verse. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and he raises up all those that be bowed down. See that? The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Now here's the verse I want you to underline. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing in the universe. Oh God, help us. You see that? You see that? Isn't that something? Lord, you just simply open your hand and you can feed the sparrows, you can feed the deer, the animals, all of them out there, the fish, the birds, you feed them all, you just simply open your hand.
Hallelujah.
And you're in the far country starved to death.
Yes.
With your, all your problems, your heart attacks, and, you know, everything else that's going on. Lord help us. Verse 20, and he arose, this is Luke 15, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, he hadn't even got home yet, he's a great way off, his father saw him. Hey, listen to me. I don't care what your problems are today. I don't care what you wasted out there in the kind of life you wanted to live for yourself. I don't care what you have done. It doesn't really matter at all. Because Father is waiting for you.
Yes, amen.
And it matters not what you have done. He didn't check up on the boy to see exactly what he'd done, to see if he was going to, you know, help him or just tell him to go back and stay with his friends there. It says, before he even got home, when he was a great way off, it says, his father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, God. You see? I know Adam ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I know that he took it from that woman, and Adam had a choice. Eve never had a choice. Why? Because she was deceived. She was deceived, and if you're deceived, you never have a choice. But Adam was not deceived. He was Christ.
Yes.
So he knew that if he did not take that fruit from the woman and eat it, that humanity would have been separated from God eternally.
Yes, yes.
You think about that. Yes. He knew that because he was Christ. But he also knew that if he ate the fruit of that tree, he would die. But he said, okay. And he ate. Did he die? Yes, 2,000 years ago on the cross. That was his death.
Yes.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
He was waiting for you to come back. He's been waiting ever since for you to come back home. He's a king. He owns everything. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he rules and reigns in righteousness. And he has everything. What does the psalmist say? He can simply open his hand and he can feed, supply the need of everything in the universe. Not just you and me, but everything.
Yes.
Oh, God. I mean, when I was a kid, I heard this story 100 times, you know, as our Sunday school teacher would tell us about the prodigal son. He never told it like this. You know, he just told us, you give your heart to Jesus out there, and you go straight back to heaven. Well, bless God. Buddy. So, he fell on his neck and kissed him. This is the king. Kisses his wayward son that has wasted his entire living. Wasted it. Just threw it out. And he's got nothing. So it says here, so the son, verse 21, the son said to him, this is his little speech, you see, that he had all prepared. Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I've sinned in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, he didn't even listen. The father says to the servants, go and get that robe that's hanging up there in the wardrobe. Bring that robe out. This is the robe of righteousness. And I just want to wrap it around my son. Oh God, help us here. And put it on him. Don't just bring it out. Put it on him. And put a ring on his finger. What is that? That's the ring of authority.
Yes.
Then you can tell your headaches to go get lost. That you've had enough. That's when you can tell that cancer, listen, you go find somewhere else to do your thing.
Yes.
But you're not going to do it in this body. That's when you can tell whatever it is that's been a problem to you to just disappear, because now you're back in Father's house. And what does it say here? The Father says, put the robe on him, put the ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. See, servants in those days never wore shoes. You had to be a free person to wear shoes, and particularly son in the family. So he put shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. No pig swill here. This is bring forth the fatted calf now, that you've been looking after and feeding with that special corn to make him nice and tender and, you know, all of this. And kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. You see, that's that word again. But he wasn't saying that he was in the cemetery, you know, with a big marble block over the top of his grave. No, he wasn't there. He was dead because the love relationship had been broken on his side, not on the Father's side. Isn't that amazing? The love of the Father never changed toward his son, even in the far country. But he didn't make it easy for him out there. Why? Because he would have stayed there. So he just made it hard for him, and harder still, until the day came when he said, I'm going back home. Father said, now I'm going to... He runs the meeting. Oh, God. He said, this my son was dead, but now he has lost it, but now he's been found. And they began to make merry. Well, then his brother comes in. And now we've got problems. Father, you're playing games here. This is your son that wasted all your money out there, and everything that you gave, he's come back, he's got nothing, not even a shirt on his back. And you are making here, you've given him a new robe, you're dressing him up like he's a prince, you put a ring of authority on his finger, you put shoes on his feet. You're even going to have this fatted calf that I thought was for me, but now you're going to give it to this guy who's not worth anything. Well, you'll always find you've got a brother like that somewhere.
Lots of them.
You see, they're a bit like the people. I think he was still in the far country, that one. Oh, Lord. He was the elder son. You know what that means? It's not the elder son, it's not the firstborn that becomes the servant of the Lord. It's the secondborn.
Yes.
It's the secondborn. Are you hearing this? It's the secondborn. You remember when Rebecca was carrying those two boys in her womb? Twins.
Yes.
Esau and Jacob. And there's a little tussle going on in the womb there, and she is asking God, what's going on here? I mean, you told me that this was, you know, going to be something very special because she was barren, she could not have a child, and she was, she was barren. So I asked her husband to pray for her, he did, and she conceives, but she has twins. She says to God, what's going on? I've got World War III going on inside here. And I want to know what's happening. And God said, there's two nations in your womb. Two different nations. Two different people are in your womb. And the one shall be stronger than the other. Who was the strong one? The firstborn? No. The secondborn. And when the firstborn was going out, you know, on the delivery end there, to be born, the guy in the second born one, he's got hold of his heel and saying, come back here, mate, I want to get out first. But God said no. So his brother got out first. And so he had the birthright. Yes. According to Israel, the firstborn got the birthright, which was the double portion of the inheritance from the Father.
Yes.
And he wanted it. And he wasn't going to let that little guy on the side there stop him. So he makes his way out and he's the firstborn. Well, then you remember how that one day he's come back from hunting. He's been out there maybe 2 or 3 days and he's starving because there was nothing out there. He couldn't catch anything, so he had nothing to eat. And he's hungry, really hungry. He's coming across the paddock there, and here's Jacob. He's helping his mother. I mean, you know, he didn't do much outside there, but he's helping with the cooking. And he's making some bean soup. Well, he sees his brother coming, so he's got this bean soup. It's already boiling. She's doing real good. Sticks a bit more fire on there so the boiling gets a little harder and harder. And he's pushing all the smell of this lovely soup out there. And his brother catches the scent out there and says, "Oh, give me some of that bean soup." And Jacob says, "Hey, I'll give you all the bean soup you want if you will give me the birthright." And he says, "Oh, fair enough. You can't eat a birthright. I'm hungry. That's what I want food. You can have the birthright." Jacob said, "Hey, give me a bowl. I'll fill it up. You want some more?" "Yeah, I'll fill it up again for you." But he had got the birthright. And we say, "Well, you cheated a bit, son." Well, at least he wanted the birthright. You want the birthright?
Amen.
Because we are all entitled to the birthright if we come back to Father's house. So, it's the second born. So the firstborn is the one that's kicking up the fuss here now. About the firstborn, you see. Okay, this my son was dead. Now the eldest son came from the field and said, "Why are you kindling the fatted calf for him?" He was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and tried to encourage him to come in. And he answered his father, said, "These many years I've been faithful to you. I've never done what that guy's done. I've been faithful to you. And what do? You never give, you never had a fatted calf for me. And yet when he comes home, having wasted everything, you make a feast for him. Father, what do you think you're doing? That's not playing the game." And the father said, as soon as his son was come, which had devoured his living with harlots, had to do with reproduction, which we spoke about yesterday. And you have killed the fatted calf. And this is what the father said to him, "Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. What else do you want? Everything I own belongs to you."
Yes, right.
And this is the truth for you tonight. Everything that God owns, he said, belongs to you. What was our verse now? "And the Lord opens his hand and feeds every living thing." Oh, God help us. So you see, this is a tremendous, not just story, this is a teaching that can show us what God really wants to do for us. And I would to God, you know, that the room could have been full tonight just to hear how great God is. But maybe the rest wouldn't have listened, but I think you are tonight. You're listening.
Yes.
Because you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
We've all been in that far country. But I'm going to ask you tonight, have you come back to the Father yet? Have you heard Father say to you, "I'm going to put you back where you were. I'm going to dress you like a prince. I'm going to bless you.
Yes.
I'm going to kill the fatted calf. I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to put the ring of authority on your finger. I'm going to put shoes on your feet. I'm going to, and everything that I own belongs to you.
Oh,
God, help us.
Thank you, Father.
This is the truth.
Yes.
This is the truth.
Tell me the truth. Tell me this.
Oh Lord. So Adam had to leave the garden. And Adam has been wandering out in that wilderness for I don't know how many thousands of years. But he's been out there, Adam. Of course, he's still asleep too, you know. He's still asleep. And he's wandered and wandered and wandered, but tonight, Father says, I want you to come home. If you have never experienced something like this before, tonight I want you to make this real in your life.
Yes.
I want you to come to a place where you will just close your eyes and begin to do business with your Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Say, Father, I know, I've been out there. And although I, you know, I claim to be a Christian and I've tried to love you, but you know, it was seemed like I haven't done the job very well. But here I am, you know. And of course then we get a bit, you know, like that man, the prodigal son. You know, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just make me one of your servants. God says, I don't have any servants.
Amen.
I don't have any servants. They're all equal to me.
Yes.
Everybody in my family is equal to me. You're all kings and priests unto God.
Yes.
Oh Lord, help us tonight.
Amen.
This was just laid on my heart this afternoon. The Father said, this is what I want you to share. I want you to tell them that I'm still waiting for them, if you haven't come back yet like that. Now this is not just, you know, something you think in your head. This is something that you have to do to present your bodies to Him. Father, I've robbed you. I've not allowed this body to become the expression of the Christ. It's become the expression of something else out there. And I'm sorry, but just make me one of your servants and you'll hear the Father say, I don't need servants. I want sons.
Yes.
I want people that can represent me.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, God is looking for you tonight.
Yes, He is.
All of you, I think that this is an experience, even for me.
Yes.
That tonight, it's something we're going to do. To come back to Him. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to restore to you whatever the far country took from you.
Yes, amen.
So in other words, what you had in Christ before you hit the trail out there to the far country, He's going to give you back and more. And you've lost nothing. You've lost nothing. But you've gained everything. This is the day of God's power. This is the day when God says, I love you, you're mine. You were mine when you went out into the far country. You were mine when you were feeding the pigs. You were mine when you made up your mind you were going to come back. But now that you're here, everything that I have is yours. Oh God, help us. Help us. Father, tonight in your presence, we feel overwhelmed, overcome with such love that you could just so love us, even after all that we have done in that far country. Not just forgiven us, but restored us to become what we were always. Even when we were in the far country, we were still a prince, but we didn't know it. And we lived. We lived like a slave. We lived like a slave, and we were a prince. Father, help us tonight. Lord, restore unto this people tonight everything that the locust hath eaten, everything that the far country took from us. Lord, restore unto your people everything that you have today that belongs unto you as you share it with us. Oh God, I want to say thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to share this little word tonight. I want to thank you because you put it on my heart to share this word. Father, I want to thank you that you were there. You didn't even wait for us to get back home. But when you saw us on the road, you went and met us. And you fell on our neck and you kissed us, Lord. And we respond tonight like the woman in the Song of Solomon say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Father, bless this people and do within us tonight that which is necessary as we just offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto you, saying, Father, make me to be what you said I was even before I went away, a son of the living God. And we will bless you, Father. We will worship you. We will praise you. For thou art great and greatly to be praised. And we will receive from your hand the restoration of all that we have lost. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Come on, you can do it. Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Well, praise God. It's been beautiful meetings.